Hey everyone, welcome back to Inside Scoop. This week we're diving head first into earnings season. This is Sean Emery, the co-founder and CIO of Avery & Company, a firm investing where the world is headed. We run various strategies, specifically Premier Growth, a high conviction equity strategy around 13 main themes today, focusing on things like automation, future of work, future of education, amongst other things such as identity. So a lot going on there. This week was a big week. You know, we'll be looking at numbers from, you know, the likes of Tesla, Microsoft, Google, Meta, and even ServiceNow, as there's a lot going on there. And more specific, you know, to, you know, revenues, margins, and any key performance indicators that, you know, suggest anything. You know, these reports honestly give us some valuable insights into the health of the tech sector. You know, cloud adoption, what's going on there, health of the enterprise, ad spending, and the trends that's happening, you know, across the board, and, you know, the ever-growing field of, you know, artificial intelligence and Gen AI, which is a pretty hot topic today. You know, so let's start with a couple different themes. You know, one is cloud wars. You know, we haven't got Amazon's report, so, you know, we're a little bit ahead of the, of getting ahead of ourselves here, you know, and not waiting for them, and we'll do that next week when we do kind of an earnings wrap. But, you know, you did get the reports from, you know, Microsoft Azure or Microsoft and Azure, and then also Google Cloud and GCP. And the big takeaway there was essentially that, you know, Microsoft and Google are both seeing pretty strong demand for their cloud services. One data point that really, really stuck out for me on the earnings call for Google was really the fact that you know, not only did cloud GCP grow, you know, 28.4% versus estimates of 25.4%, but on the earnings call, you know, they mentioned that 90% of AI unicorns are actually customers of Google Cloud. And as we know, you know, there's multi-cloud. So some of these, you know, AI unicorns, and again, unicorn being $1 billion valuation or more, you know, they can be using multiple clouds. So they could be customers of Azure and Google. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, Google has a fair share of cloud customers that are AI based. And, you know, I'll talk about Microsoft, but also talk about what that the significance of you know, that data point of 90%. Microsoft Azure, their other and other cloud, I guess is how they define it, grew at 31%. The estimates there were 28.6%. And this was 30% last quarter. So, you know, a step up or an acceleration across the board. So you're seeing an acceleration across the board for the cloud vendors so far. You know, we'll also get the likes of Oracle coming here shortly. But I think this says a lot about enterprise spend. Remember, cloud is a function of enterprise spend, you know, companies that are spending on, you know, cloud services. And these are some of these things are consumption based, right? Where, you know, if their customers are using their products more, their cloud spend increases. If they're digging and trying to function and invest in AI, you know, their cloud spend increases. So I think net net, you know, regardless of maybe some of the top end numbers on the cloud wars, it's really around, you know, what does this suggest about everyone else that are enterprise customers of Google Cloud and Microsoft Azure. You know, stepping back, looking at Microsoft, looking at Google just as standalone businesses, you know, Google obviously announced a dividend. I think the biggest takeaway for Google is, you know, the biggest question mark, the biggest overhang, the biggest cloud, you know, no pun intended, but it's the fact that people are concerned that, you know, Google's most at risk to, you know, Gen AI across the board and kind of eating them away at the fringes. And, you know, the 90% Google Cloud comment I mentioned earlier suggests that, you know, even as AI improves or gets bigger as a market, that they're benefiting regardless. Now, you didn't see anything on the fringes of Google's any impact to the core business. Obviously, 15% or so revenue growth, you know, across the board, 20%+ coming from that from YouTube. You had obviously Google Cloud growing at 28%. So net net, you know, Google remains in pretty strong foundation, abundance of cash, and, you know, performing pretty well. They highlighted a lot about how Gemini. You know, there's a lot of questions around, you know, what's the future look like in a world where, you know, you have all these AI products out there, that are answering questions without the need for, again, these blue links. And, you know, I think they answered that pretty intelligently around, you know, kind of a hybrid approach to all this stuff. And I think that was the right answer. And I think that alleviated some pressures. And then obviously they announced a, you know, capital return policy with a dividend. And you've seen that across the board here now with, you know, Meta, Google, and Apple all being, you know, dividend payers at this stage. Microsoft, again, they just continue to hit across the board. They're a commercial, you know, enterprise business, right? And so they're winning with, you know, Office 365 performing well. You have obviously Azure and cloud performing well. You know, gaming with the addition of Activision Blizzard, that part of the business grew, you know, 55-60%. Obviously, all of that is inorganic from the Activision Blizzard acquisition, which is crazy to believe that they have that in their portfolio as well. LinkedIn grew at 10%. And that takes me to the second point of all this, which is this week we got a lot of data points around ad spend. And we got LinkedIn data from Microsoft. We got Snapchat reporting. We got Meta reporting. And we also had YouTube, which is obviously part of Google. And, you know, I made a post on my X, Twitter, and basically highlighted, you know, looking down the spectrum of, you know, who's doing what in ads. And I think there's really two takeaways here. Number one, you know, Meta's ad growth rate was 27% year over year. Snapchat came in second at 21%. YouTube came in third at 20%. LinkedIn came in fourth at 10%. And I think there's a lot to extract from that. Number one, you know, Meta's leading the charge. Number two, I think you're seeing a separation between, call it Meta versus everyone else, but you're seeing, you know, traditional performance and brand advertisers like Meta, Snapchat, and YouTube performing much better than LinkedIn, which, you know, ads and some of the dollars that come on the LinkedIn platform are around advertisements, but also recruiting, which says a little bit about the jobs market. But these ad revenue growth rates growing pretty sharply suggest, again, very similar to how we look at cloud. Cloud spend is accelerating. Cloud spend accelerates when cloud customers are more confident about their business. Ad budgets accelerate when advertisers are more confident about the demand environment for their products. And I think that's the ultimate takeaway. Cloud customers are constructive, and ad customers, advertisers are more constructive about the environment around them. And, you know, that's really that. I think it's pretty interesting. Now, the third one I wanted to highlight was really around Tesla. And I also wanted to highlight around ServiceNow, these comments. So Tesla reported earnings, and the overall like revenue and margin story is, you know, not that sound, at least this quarter. We know what's happening in the EV market, you know, where hybrids are taking more share. You know, combined hybrids, traditional hybrids and traditional EVs are around like, you know, 25 to 30% of the market today. So they continue to take share, but hybrids have played a pretty critical role here recently. So revenue was, you know, one of the worst, you know, growth environments for Tesla that they've ever seen. Margins, you know, operating margins fell to, you know, 5.5%, incredibly low relative to where they've been over the last 24 months. And obviously cash flow got squeezed pretty aggressively this quarter as well. And gross margins, you know, are hovering around, you know, 17%, down from their peak levels a couple years ago now at 29%. So all that is negative. But again, as investors looking more long-term, and we're not investors in Tesla, but we are interesting in the story, is really the fact that you look at someone like Tesla and you look at some of the other data points. Supercharger locations growing at 26%, energy growing at 4%, and miles driven, you know, for full self-driving going to roughly 1.4 billion miles driven. And that's up, you know, approximately 60, you know, or so percent. And that's the foundation, you know, the road to the future for a company like this. Supercharger locations increasing helps them in two ways. Number one, it helps them in the fact that, you know, some of the anxiety around buying an EV is really around, are there supercharger, are there gas stations, the equivalent of a gas station, anywhere and everywhere, so I don't have anxiety. Number two is really the fact that as they continue to build these supercharger locations and some of the other OEMs of cars, specifically EVs, are going to leverage their supercharger locations, that puts them in a strategic advantage where they can control a lot of the ecosystem from the car standpoint. But also, you know, if you're thinking fully autonomous, these cars need to park somewhere and recharge themselves. And they're going to be the owners of these locations. Now, the call, they talked a lot about autonomous, you know, full self-driving, and, you know, believers believe and non-believers don't. You know, that to each their own. I spent some time in Arizona recently, and, you know, I'm a believer at full autonomous. We'll be here, and we'll be here in scale and meaningful size of, you know, the miles driven across the board. Now, the business model is a little less clear. You know, does Tesla own the vehicles and kind of lease essentially have a fleet, essentially being almost like a hotel, and, you know, they're leasing you the rooms? Or, you know, are they franchisee where they, you know, they sell the fleet to commercial operators that then, you know, use the Tesla brand? And it's almost like an asset light model that direction. Or do they sell these cars and, you know, I own a, you know, a Tesla and I put it onto an autonomous platform? I don't think that is that viable, because if I'm trying to go somewhere at a certain time, you know, I don't necessarily think, you know, I want to be renting my car out, you know, regularly. Could there be moments in time? And as that ecosystem progresses, maybe. They did share on their shareholder, you know, deck a little bit of the UI. So this suggests that they're a little bit, you know, they're much more advanced in terms of where they are in terms of launching full self-driving. But remember, Waymo's been doing this for a while. You know, they're only in really three main metros. And, you know, it's a slow grind. So anyone thinking that this is going to be a swift change, I think should be looking at that as some, you know, foundational thoughts. ServiceNow, one thing I found interesting where, you know, McDermott mentioned during some of the conversation was really around the fact that it's around productivity and around AI. And, you know, AI is potentially improving productivity for a lot of people. And, you know, he was asked a question around productivity of software engineers and, you know, highlighting how software engineers and engineers in general, we're seeing a huge boost in productivity because of some of the Gen AI tools. And that's great. Now, current thinking, consensus thought is AI will eat jobs and therefore we'll have less people doing, you know, things. And now speaking to execs and makes, you know, economic sense is if you can get an engineer, you know, 2x more productive, you're going to hire more engineers because as productivity goes up, ROI goes up on that underlying, you know, engineer investment. Same thing, Aaron Levy from Box, he mentioned the same thing and just kind of doing it more on a sales side. If you have a sales rep that is, you know, 2x more productive, you're going to hire more sales reps until that productivity starts to wane. And then the ROI spend on that underlying engineer, on that underlying sales rep starts to diminish. And then you don't spend. It's almost like an ad budget. So that's kind of like the thoughts. I think that's an interesting takeaway as people think through, you know, the economic implications of AI. You may have more seats than less seats out there, specifically in the areas where it improves productivity. So if it improves productivity, you may have more seats associated with that. More reps, not less. So that is that. You know, I think this was a very interesting week. The big story is cloud spend reaccelerating. We'll see from AWS if they validate that. And that suggests a healthy commercial environment. Ad spend increasing and performing well across the board, really. And that suggests, you know, an advertiser's demand environment looking healthy as well. So, you know, again, I think this week we gained valuable insights, the health of the tech sector, everything beyond that, cloud adoption trends, you know, ad performance platforms, and honestly, the rising importance and potential implications. So stay tuned for more in-depth, you know, analysis, reviews of earnings next week, probably the week after, Inside Scoop. With that, have a good week.